الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا توبوا إلى الله توبة نصوحا وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام التائب حبيب الله صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. My respected علماء الكرام, حفاظ الكرام, friends, elders and brothers in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. When Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala created our father Adam alayhi salatu wa salam and our mother Hawa alayhi salatu wa salam, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala said to Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, Ya Adam, uskun anta wa zawjukal jannah. O Adam, you and your spouse live in Jannah. Wa kula minha raghadan haythu shi'tuma. And relish from the fruits of Jannah. وَلَا تَقْرَبَا هَذِهِ الشَّدَرَةِ فَتَكُونَا مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. And do not get close to this tree, or else you will be from among the oppressors. Shaitan was the arch enemy of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and he had vowed to lead Adam alayhi salatu wasalam astray. Shaitan came to Hawa alayhi salatu wasalam and said to her that if you want to live in Jannah permanently, you must eat the fruit of that tree. She was convinced, and she in turn convinced Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and Hawa alayhi salatu wasalam both ate from the fruit of that prohibited tree. That incurred the anger and the wrath of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala told to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, O Adam, you have violated my law. You went against my instructions. You cannot live in Jannah. Move out of Jannah. Ihbitu ba'dukum li ba'din adu. Go to earth and you will be the enemies of one another. Allama Ibn Qayyim, rahmatullahi alayhi, a great scholar and Sufi in Islam, has said that from the time Adam alayhi salatu wasalam set foot on earth, he regretted the mistake that he had done. Allama Ibn Qayyim further mentions, فَبَكَى آدَمْ 300 sinin. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam cried for 300 years, exhausting every possible avenue to invoke the mercy of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and get the forgiveness of Allah. One morning, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam wakes up with tears in his eyes. He makes dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Ya Rabbi, as'aluka bihaqqi Muhammad an taghfirali. Rabbana zalamna anfusana, wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna, lanakunanna minal khasirin. He says, O Allah, I ask you, in the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you forgive me. O Allah, if you do not forgive us, if you do not have mercy upon us, then we will be from among the losers. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala informed Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, O Adam, I have forgiven you. Adam alayhi salatu wa salam asked Allah tabarak wa ta'ala that I begged for your forgiveness for so long, and I was certain that you will send your mercy upon me and forgive me, but let me know the reason of accepting my forgiveness now. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala told to Adam alayhi salatu wa salam that you asked me for forgiveness in the name of such a personality that is most beloved in my sight, the name of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear brothers and respected elders, the name of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a means of our forgiveness. The presence and existence of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a means of forgiveness for the ummah. And Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exhausted and will continue to exhaust every possible avenue to attain the forgiveness of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala for his ummah. It is mentioned in one hadith that the very first person to come out from the qabr, from the grave on the day of qiyamah, will be Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam and Mikael alayhi salatu wa salam, they will come and present themselves by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They will tell to him, Lakal bushra ya Rasulullah. For you is glad tidings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will ask, Mal bushra? What is the glad tiding? Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam will present a clothing, a garment from Jannah to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and will tell to him that this is a garment from Jannah. Whosoever wears this garment will certainly enter into Jannah. Then they present to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an animal and will say to him that whosoever rides on this animal will certainly go into Jannatul Firdaus. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be presented with a flag, the Liwa'ul Hamd. Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam will tell to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whosoever has this flag in his hand, Allah will cause his heart to expand and he will praise Allah with such words that nobody has praised Allah tabarak wa ta'ala before with such words. And the person will attain the maqam mahmood, the most praised place by the arsh of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be presented with a crown. And one pearl of that crown will be so bright that it is sufficient to illuminate the entire world. And the entire crown will be filled with such pearls. It will be told to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that wear this crown and go by the arsh of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and intercede on behalf of your ummah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's been given so many bounties and so many favors. He can go into Jannah. He's gone the clothing of Jannah. He can go by the maqam of Mahmood. But he tells to Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam and Mikael alayhi salatu wa salam, la as'aluka an hadha, that I'm not asking you about this. As'aluka an hali ummati. I'm asking you about the condition of my ummah. Are they forgiven by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala? Allama ibn Qayyim rahmatullah alayhi mentions, and in the light of the hadith, from that time that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will come out from his Rozay Mubarak, right until every ummati of his is not forgiven, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be helpless. He'll be restless, and he will seek every possible avenue to get every ummati of his forgiven. It is mentioned in the books of ahadith that one night Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was engaged in ibadat. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she comes by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks, man, who is here? She was surprised with this question, that who else can be here besides me that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam needed to ask this question? Nabi Kareem, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha then replied, Aisha. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, man Aisha? Who is Aisha? She was even more surprised that being the most beloved wife of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cannot recognize me? The following morning, she asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the incident that transpired in the night. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not know about it. She says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, you first ask who is here, and then you ask who is Aisha. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, did that happen? She says, yes, it certainly happened. That is when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Aisha, there is a certain portion or certain time at night when I engross myself to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, my heart and my mind is so consumed that I do not recognize anybody but Allah, and I express my concern for my ummah on the day of Qiyamah. In one hadith quoted in Shama'il, Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullah alayhi quotes the titles of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one of the titles of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Tawbah. Ana Nabiyyu Tawbah. That I am the Nabi of Tawbah. According to one explanation on this hadith, the muhaddithin mention that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's effort was directed towards conscientizing the ummah, motivating them to make Tawbah, to seek the forgiveness of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, repair the matter between the creator and the creation. In Bukhari, in the second volume, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam relates one dream of his. After the Fajr Salah, it was the noble habit of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ask the Sahaba if they had seen any dream. And if they did, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would interpret the dream. One particular morning, following his procedure, he inquired from the Sahaba if anybody had seen a dream. And nobody did present any dream to Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that morning. Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam relates his dream. And he says that two angels, Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam and Mikael alayhi salatu wa salam, came to me in my dream. They caught my hands and they told me, in talik, come, walk. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that I came across a very frightening scene. I saw one person standing and one person sitting. The person that was standing had a gripper or a scissor in his hand, and he was tearing the jaw of the person that was sitting from the mouth right up till the ears. And by the time that portion of the jaw could come right, the left jaw was ripped right up till the ears. And this punishment would continue to the person. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was rahmatul lil alameen. He was so soft. Every person's pain was the pain of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And imagine what would pass the heart of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon that sight. He asked Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam and Mikael alayhi salatu wa sallam, ma haza? What is this? They told to him, intalik, intalik. Come, let's go. More for you to see. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned another sight, that there was one person that was standing and another person was lying down. The person that was standing was holding a huge boulder in his hand, a huge rock. And he would take the rock and throw it onto the head of the person that was lying down. The head of that person would crush into pieces and the boulder would roll away. The person that threw the rock will go to fetch the boulder, and by that time the person's head will come in order. And the rock will be thrown again onto the head of the person. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken aback. What is this? Ma haza? They tell to him, intalik, intalik, go, let's go, more for you to see. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then see the third sight, that there is one person that is swimming in a stream or a river of blood. And as he would come out right by the shore, a rock will be placed in his mouth and push him away back into the center. The person will experience extreme difficulty in staying in the pool or in the stream of blood. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again asked, what is this? They told him, move further, more for you to see. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then sees another horrible sight. He sees a cauldron, like an oven. At the bottom it would be broad, and on the top it would be narrow. It would be filled with fire. In that there would be nude men and nude women. And as the fire would go up, they would go up with the fire. And as the fire would go down, they would go down with the fire. And they would be crying and screaming. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, what is this? The hadith is very lengthy. But going back to the incident of the first person whose jaws was being ripped from the right and the left, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam told to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam that that is the punishment of the sin of ghibat. The sin of backbiting, talking ill and evil of your fellow brethren. The second person whose head would be crushed, that is the sin of that person who would discard the salah. When the fajr time comes, his head is heavy on the pillow. He's enjoying his sweet sleep at the expense of discarding his fajr salah. The third person who would be swimming in that stream of blood is that person who drank the blood of people in the form of engaging himself in interest-bearing transactions. And the fourth person, or the fourth people, group of people, that were in that cauldron, and they were burning in it, they were nude, that is the punishment of those people who engaged in the sin of zina. Every form of zina, zina of the eyes, by looking at a ghair mahram woman, zina of the brain, by thinking evil and fantasizing, physical zina, zina of the heart, by zina of the eyes, by looking at pornographic magazines, that is the punishment for such people. My dear brothers and respected elders, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam's responsibility, as his title suggests, that he was Nabi Tawbah. He was a Nabi that would motivate the people to make Tawbah. It is mentioned in the hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam is reported to have mentioned, كلكم خطاؤون وخير الخطائين التوابون. Every one of us have erred. And the best person is that person who repents and makes tawbah to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, At-ta'ibu habibullah. That the person that makes tawbah, he is the most beloved in the sight of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, At-ta'ibu min al-zamb kamal la zambala. That person that makes tawbah from sins is as though he never sinned. Whilst Allah has given us life, we don't know when mouth is going to come and overtake us. Life is like a melting ice. Every minute and every hour of the day, we are getting closer to the qabr. How often we heard of people living with us an hour ago, and the next hour have left the dunya. We don't know when we are going to leave this dunya. Whilst Allah has given us air to breathe, He has given us the opportunity to penitently repent to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Many people complain that they engage in a certain sin, in a certain act, but remember, it is not how you commence the journey of sin that matters. When you already engage in a sin, what matters now is whether you completed the journey or not. The journey of drugs, the journey of zina, the journey of ghibat, the journey of doing transactions against Islamic law, business and economics. These are the journeys that many of us are engaged in. We are already engaged in a journey. That does not matter. What matters now is how you terminate the journey. The first step is tawbah. And if there's ikhlas, if there's sincerity, then certainly Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is tawwab and is rahim. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that inna Allah yaqbal tawbah ma lam yugharghir. That Allah tabarak wa ta'ala accepts the tawbah of a person until he has air to breathe. But the moment he loses his breath, the doors of tawbah are closed. My dear brothers and respected elders, life, death is imminent, life is short, we engage in so many things, and Allah is so merciful that right until the last moments of our life, we can regret our sins. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam regretted, there was sincerity, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala accepted his tawbah. If we have ikhlas, we have sincerity, and we really want to change our life, then the stepping stone to that is sincerity. Tawbah, and thereafter, if we engage in certain sins, that we know that after tawbah we'll still engage ourselves in that sin, then we need to require or seek the assistance of such people, or such programs, or such avenues where we could change and repair ourselves. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.